Blog Talk Radio.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is make the leader within you come alive.
You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Thanks for joining us. Friends, no matter where you are in life, if you're a teacher or a student or a CEO or this, or secretary, Lord, you, no matter the role, you have a purpose and you're a leader in that purpose. Our goal here is simple, to inspire and equip leaders to lead where they are. In other words, get us on cue with God's will, on cue with his call in our lives, with purpose, and on cue, get others on cue with that purpose. And what is cue? It is how Nehemiah, a model transformational leader, led a starved, broken, desperate, isolated people in building a wall in ancient Jerusalem. And essentially, he built, helped them build a way of life. What did he do? He cued them up. It's C-U-E. It's C is for common ground. It's what we can agree on. It's really the why. U is the unified thought. It's the vision. What vision can we share? It's the what. And E is equally yoke. What is the end game, and what's my role in it? It's the how. Q leadership in all, in essence, integrates biblical principles of leadership using Nehemiah as the model and helping us do two things. One, get people to trust you, and two, get people to follow you, discipleship. Those are the axes of leadership. Can I get you to trust me, and can I get you to follow me? It's that simple. So we always kick off the show with a prayer. So, Lord, we are powerful, loving, merciful God. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, lead and bless this ministry and our audience and those that are serving you. Lord, we know that this cue leadership is your brainchild, but our calling in your name. We honor you today by doing two things, Lord. We're giving you the glory. And we impacting this generation, a servant through Q, Lord. Lord, your word in Romans 12:2 tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of your mind, and you, that you may prove what is good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Lord, use this ministry to complete that task, Lord, for it align and equip and transform new leaders for this glory. So help others hear the call, receive the call, and help this ministry, Lord, raise some transformational leaders, some chiefs, and raise some gatekeepers in your name, in Christ. Name. Amen. So our show, a little bit out, is just to have a dialogue, a conversation about leadership based in God's word, and equip leaders with a roadmap and to tap into faith and building trust and discipleship, and highlight everyday leaders who are making a difference and they can testify to God's goodness. Our show is a lot of things, but what it is not to criticize, but shine a light on some truth and love. Is to tell you, not to tell you what to do, but provide a different lens in order to see things. And it's not to focus on mere symptoms of a problem, but rather the root of a problem. In essence, we want to treat the infection rather than the runny nose. So today, as with anything, let's be open and that we hear the Lord and not me. And Lord, and help us to have the right questions, no matter the differences. Remember that this life is about love and surrender, and there will be some differences of opinions, of course, but let us do what a true transformational leader tells us to do. Let us agree without being disagreeable and be thought partners and have a fruitful dialogue. And so we're in a series on wellness, and we focus on this on the suffix, the nest of wellness. We'll talk about being having good well-being, the wellspring, being well-coached, being well nourished, been having things well said about you, and being well protected and covered. So last week, we discussed the need of being well coached with Dr. Nate Hearns, who's a longtime coach and educator who just authored Friday Night Lights, An Untold Story Behind the Lights. He shared a perspective on building leadership and character on and off the field. As we discover, as we continue this series, do me a favor. Think about your sisters and your brothers. And if you have some, or think about your children if you have any, you know, how different are they? When I think about my siblings, I grow a greater respect for my parents. Yes, the respect stems from the raising almost 8 kids and also some grandkids and very little resources, but more importantly, managing all the personalities of the 8 children. You know, all of us, different needs, and all of us have different personalities. We share some similar traits, but, you know, we have more of something. For instance, the responsiveness and resiliency of my older sister, Sheila. You know, the fight and focus in my sister, Sherry. The tendency to work ethic in my brother, Tom. The love and compassion of my sister, Gladys. The careness and the toughness of my sister, Pat. And the command and control of my sister, Donna. And the venture and the risk-taking and Jody. And when it comes to me, I always have a question, to question everything. And so, you know, having those, having experienced all of that, you know, Todd and I was not quite ready to the differences in our own girls. Of course, we don't want to compare our girls against each other, but just like you, we want to be able to bear fruits for God's glory. We want to create leaders who are bigger than the lights that the Lord is shining through. So last week, quote of the week was, "You might be the only Jesus that this world will see." And we pray that the world sees Jesus through our girls. So, but like, again, we don't want to compare that, but we just want to kind of give you a perspective in order to stir with our storyline today. We have 2 girls, an early blessing in Kennedy and a late blessing in Carson. Both are similar in many ways. Both are have some differences in personality. Kennedy was more laid back, somewhat wanting to please at this age, but quicker to obey, but could respect the logic of obedience in a sense, and staying out of danger. And she, you know, she's a lioness right now. She's honing her craft and really emerging and blossoming in her own. And she's measuring. She doesn't necessarily rush in. And notice I said respect the logic, not understand the logic, because our daughter Carson, the youngest, she understands the logic but not quite grasps the respect thing yet. And I know she's still fairly young. But, you know, how do I describe Carson as describe Kennedy as the lioness, and I describe Carson as the honey badger? You know, she knows what she wants, when she wants it, how she wants it, and who she wants it from. There's nothing can stop her from getting it and getting it right now. And, you know, Carson is a strong-willed child. And Ty and I recognized this early, so we bought Dr. Jane Dobson's book, How to Raise a Strong-Willed Child, and he shared some things that kind of stuck with me in a sense. And the kids like Carson, one thing that really stuck out was kids like Carson are always looking for someone or something to dominate or to lead or to be the alpha. In the early years of life, parents and those around them, and this is telling for me, have to constantly prove on a daily basis that they're worthy of leading them. And it just fits her to a T. And, of course, they said it'll finally go away when she's 4 or 5 years old. But right now, that's what we're operating in right there. Not everybody she comes in contact with, parents, sisters, aunts, she's trying to take control. You know, why is this relevant? She, of course, she takes over everywhere, and she could be characterized as what we're calling bossy. And so when I heard about the campaign about the word banning the word bossy, when I heard about it, I said, well, here's society again trying to treat the symptoms rather than the root of the problem. But after reading the campaign, it kind of pulled on my heartstrings a little bit, because my girls are future leaders. Especially considering the Carson is earning one of those similar names in Mother's Day Out and the playground and anywhere she goes. But you know, she likes to take over. So as we've heard, Facebook CEO Sheryl Sandberg has created this Lean In organization, announced this new campaign along with the Girl Scouts of banning bossing. The rationale is the campaign's organizer argued that from an early age, boys are raised to be more assertive, showing leadership skills, and while girls are criticized for it, establishing patterns that young women in middle school and then onto the working world. And so she talked about her being labeled as bossy and so forth, but ultimately, when a little boy asserts himself, she said, he's called a leader. Yes, little girls, that's the same. She's been branded bossy. You can go on one side of the argument of that, but the questions are, you know, that come to mind, well, how are we parents, mentors, teachers, friends respond to this campaign? Is bossiness leadership? Can girls handle sticks and stones, as you say, better than handle the words? And more importantly, should bossy be banned for our vocabulary? You know, which really brings up to the question of the day. You know, we've heard the whole rhyme sticks and stones. So sticks and stones will break my bones, or words will never hurt me. Remember hearing and saying that over the years. And so the question of the day is sticks and stones. Is banning bossy being bossy? And so in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus was asked by the multitude, you know, are there he should come, and do we look for, was he the one who's to come, or should they look for another? And Jesus shared that he had been a witness to prophets and troubles and miracles, and they still could not see or believe. So in verse 25, he said, O Lord, I thank thee, O Lord, Lord of heaven and earth, because there has hid things from the wise and the prudent, and has revealed them into babes. So after the break, we want to talk to, I guess in a sense, some babes, but there's some future leaders of this next generation, ask the same questions and discover what the Lord's revealed to them about this word and about leadership in their own right. So to help us with this, we're looking at two future leaders, Nicole Johnson and daughter Kennedy Powell, who's always helped us on every week on the radio show, both sophomores at Ursuline Academy, and want to share their perspective. So after the break, we're going to bring them on and talk about sticks and stones, is banning bossy being bossy. And then during the break, so stay with us. Feel free to call and log in and share what your thoughts are. We're taking calls. We're welcoming you to Blog Talk Radio, and call us at 310-861-2331 to ask a question, to make a comment. Press 1 on your telephone, and Kennedy, she'll run double duty today and bring you into the conversation. And also, feel free to join us in a live chat room at Blog Talk Radio, and of course, you can share some questions there as well. So please, friends, we would love to hear from you. Call us at 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
The people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated.
We lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
Powerful is your leadership. Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for better life.
And we're back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Our mission here is to equip leaders to help them lead where they are by getting us on cue with God's will and his purpose. So feel free to join us in the live chat room at Blog Talk Radio. We're taking calls. Feel free to call us at 310-861-2331. That's 310-861-2331. To ask a question, feel free to raise your hand, and we'll bring you right in. We'd love to hear from you. Today's question. Sticks and Stones is banning bossy. We have two special guests, Nicole Johnson and Kennedy Powell, both sophomores at the Ursuline Academy here at Dallas, both future leaders and both called to serve. So, Nicole, Kennedy, thanks for joining me.
Thanks.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks. I hope you had a great weekend so far.
Oh, yes. It was a good weekend.
Awesome. Thank you. So we're going to jump right in, and hopefully we'll get some questions out there and get some great perspectives in sharing on this. And so I'll always ask to start my show with two questions. And, Nicole, I'll start with you. And the first question is, and what is the one word that describes you?
I would say optimistic, because I look for the brighter side of most things that I do, and I try not to let failure bring me down.
Oh, awesome. Great response, and I love that. And it's good to hear that from some striving new leaders. So Kennedy, what about yourself?
I feel that I am hardworking. Even though I may go through some obstacles, I find a way to go through it no matter how hard it is. So I think that's the word that really describes me.
Okay, great, because it's always resiliency. It's always one of those things, no matter what the challenges you may have, kind of move you forward. So, Kennedy, I'll stay with you while we're here. So if money was no issue, so Dad was independently wealthy, right? What would you do every day?
I would just find any way I can to help people that need the help that they can get. Either shelter, clothes, food, helping them get their life back together. I think that is just something that is great in the world to see, like, everyone thrive in the world. And I think that me helping someone else with whatever I have is a great way to use it.
Okay, from a serving perspective, mm-hmm. right? So Nicole, I ask you the same thing. You know, if money was no issue, what would you do every day?
Definitely along the lines of what Kennedy said, and I think that I would love to travel abroad to other countries and to do, like, mission work and help developing countries and struggling countries and just help them find their way.
Well, awesome. Going from where you are to a global needs, right? So that is absolutely awesome. So as we go through the day, so Nicole, I'll stay with you for a second. I know there's going to be a short period of time, but, you know, what would you want people, the audience here, to know about you from just a matter of a short introduction?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm a caring person, and I really mm-hmm. try and help as many people as I can. And I also consider myself a very empathetic person, and I always try to, put others' needs before mine.
Okay. Ultimately, serving people, and it kind of coincides with your answer earlier of going on missions across the globe. And Kennedy, what about yourself?
I will say that I'm very opinionated. At first, as you said earlier in your introduction, I was a very laid-back child, and I think I've grown out of that, and I let people know what I'm thinking and whenever we're doing something, what I want to be done. But at that instant, I think I'm kind of like an older version of Carson. So I guess that's what I want people to know about me.
Okay. Well, great. Well, I'm going to try not to act like Dad today, so I'm just going to be like as though you're not my child here, opinionated child here, right? but thank you for that. So you both have heard, it's a little silly, it's a little trivial, of course, but I've always trying to play on words as we get the audience interest on different topics here at On Cue. And you've heard the nursery around about sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt me. And I've heard that from a child, and as well as haven't heard it much in this generation. But I guess if you kind of think about it, are those words still relevant today? Nicole, I'll start with you and get your thoughts on that.
Okay. Yeah, I think that these words are really important every day because in this world, people are really, really cruel, and a lot of people want to bring us down, but you shouldn't always let people bring you down. But in some cases, you should also take their words into consideration and kind of reevaluate why they, like, would have said those things to you.
Right. So in a sense, although you don't allow it to hurt you, but you also take an assessment, so, you know, do they really see that in me, although it may be true or not? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Absolutely. What a great, great way to look at it, looking yourself in the mirror every time you hear something. So, Kennedy, what about yourself? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words would never hurt me. What is that still relevant today?
I agree with Nicole. I think they're still relevant because, you know, on social media, there's people who, you know, bring you down or behind the screen trying to get to you. And there are a lot of people who stick up for other people, and they don't let those words hurt them, and they just do what they normally do. They know who they are as a person, and they shouldn't let someone else define who they are through a screen, through the internet. And so I think those words are very relevant.
Okay. So let's pick up the whole social media element, because I think that's a big driving force in your life and probably Nicole's and, of course, a set of friends as well. And in a sense where, you know, there's ways of, you know, there's ways of value, and there's ways of distractions, there's ways of things that maybe be harmful and to your spirit, to your mind, to all the things that make you up. And so as you go through this, you know, we're going through this whole season of people talking about bullying and other things, and that, you know, the show is not necessarily about that, but it's also connected with it. But when you hear the word bossy, Kennedy, what does that mean to you?
It's kind of a childish term to me. I think, you know, in first grade, whenever you're a line leader and, you know, you feel all dominant, and people are like, oh, you're so bossy. And I think it's just a childish term, that's the first thing that comes to my mind.
First thing that comes to your mind. So Cole, what about you? When you hear the word bossy, what does that mean to you?
I view that it's like someone who sees everything from their point of view, but they tell people what to do to make their point of view kind of happen instead of taking other people's views into account as well.
So they make it about them, right? And quite different from about serving others. It's really about them. Would you say that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, how often? I'm gonna jump on that for a second. You know, how do you, Nicole, handle someone that makes everything about them?
I try to put my perspective into the things that they're saying, and after you've done that multiple times, they kind of have to hear you after a while. So it kind of, in a sense, it was kind of being bossy as well, but you kind of balance it out a little bit.
Right, I see. So in a sense, you're able to kind of discern what they're doing, but in a direct way as well, kind of combat it in a sense. So when you think about, you know, Kennedy, that's some of the things that we're dealing with as a society in general, and you've heard me on the show for the last months or so forth, every week, talk about the me now culture. And the me now culture we're talking about is it's about me, and I want it now. And so when, how does this whole bossy element, taking Nicole's point, kind of relate to that in the sense of where, you know, it is about me, therefore I want my way, therefore get in line if it's in the first grade lunch line versus the lunch line at Ursuline Academy right now?
I feel like if you were to be bossy, I think it would take, you know, time to get what you want to be that leader. So I think that whenever you're trying to, I guess, boss someone around, you would let them, you would share your experiences with them and see what you've done and see how, like, this actually works, and just let them be on your side, let them trust you, let them respect you, and let them know that you're a person that they can follow for a great path in their life.
Okay. So, you know, thanks for sharing that. And you picked up a whole word, you know, this is what our ministry is about leadership. And again, Nicole, you know, we're going to go off just script for just for a second. When you hear the word leadership, what do you think about? What are those connotations? What are those words that come to mind?
When I hear the word leadership, I kind of think of someone who, or like someone or something that incorporates their own views into other people's lives and other people's wants and desires, but not just their own wants and desires, but they kind of incorporate other people's as well.
Okay, well, great. Kennedy, what about yourself? And then when we talk about leadership all the time, I guess you may get tired of it because you have to be engaged in it every week, always when you leave a house, I said lead, not follow.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so when you hear the word leadership, what do you think about?
Well, you know, a couple years ago, you told me about these three L's,
mm-hmm.
and which are learn, lend, and lead. So in the three L's, this is what I think of whenever you say the word leadership. You learn what you want to do to lead these people. Like, you learn who you're leading to. You learn what you're dealing with, what kind of situation you're dealing with. And then when you lend your talent to those people you're leading with, those people that you're leading, and you lend them so they can see, so they can trust you with your talents and see that you have the ability to do this. And after you learn the situation, you lend your talent to those people, then you lead them into the right direction.
Okay. Well, thanks. I'm glad you remember that and brought that back up. So I guess some of our conversations kind of stuck there, but no, great. Thanks for sharing that. So we're going to take a quick break. So after the break, we'll continue to have a conversation with our two future leaders, Nicole Johnson and Kennedy Powell, both sophomores of Ursuline Academy and future leaders, and call to serve, as you can hear with their first couple of answers to the question. So after the break, we'll continue the dialogue about sticks and stones as banning being bossy. So during the break, so stay with us. You can't afford to miss this. We're taking calls. We'll welcome you to log in at Blog Talk Radio and call us at 310-861-2331 to ask a question or to make a comment. Press 1 on your telephone, and we'll bring you in. So even join us on the live chat room at Blog Talk Radio. So friends, we would love to hear from you. Now, please call us at 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
Lead them where they are by getting them on cue for God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
Full is your leadership. Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue.
And we're back. Thanks for staying with us.
You're listening on Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is to equip leaders to help them lead where they are. Again, it's on Cue with God's will and his purpose. So follow us on Twitter as well at Cue Leadership. And we're taking calls. Feel free to call us at 310-861-2331. Press 1 on your dial, and we will bring you in. So friends, we'd love to hear from you. So today's question, Sticks and Stone, is banning bossy being bossy. We have two great guests, Nicole Johnson and Kennedy Powell, both sophomores in high school, Urson Academy of Dallas, and both future leaders. You know, as we ended the last segment, we talked about leadership, and we talked about what it meant to you. And I recall that the CEO of Stanberg of Facebook talked about her experiences and talked about why this campaign has gone about. And so when she said, when a boy asserts himself, he is called a leader, but yet when a girl does the same, she risks being branded. These words like bossy send the message and don't raise your hand or speak up. By middle school, girls are less interested in leading than boys, a trend that continues in adulthood. Together, we should encourage to lead. Nicole, is this a true statement?
I think it is a true statement that some girls may feel threatened or like they might see it as a setback to their ways to leadership, but I don't think that they should put it that much into heart and to make them completely stop what they're doing. And I don't think that they should stop trying to be leaders, and they should still strive for what they want.
Yes, okay. And Kennedy, what about yourself? Is this a true statement?
I feel like in our society now it is, but later on in life I think that we can overcome it, and that boys and girls can be equal. They can have the same leadership skills no matter what their gender is. So I think right now it's a true statement that boys are more, I guess, have more attention or have that,
have that more focus, speaking more focus,
right,
more focus on them from a leadership perspective. And that's fine. So if you think about it, feel free to come back. So Dad gets lost every now and then as well. So but Kennedy, what are your thoughts on a campaign banning a word bossing?
At first, when I heard it, I thought it was ridiculous. I mean, banning a whole word, just stopping it. I mean, I think it's ridiculous. But then I looked into it a little bit more, and I saw that how much the word bossy, I guess, was keeping girls from being a leader, and how many girls could have had the opportunity to lead something and change something in this world. So I think that they're doing this to shine a light on what it's actually doing to our society, in that since you're having this more focus on boys, that you don't know that what girls can actually do. So I think that I don't think banning a word is something that you can do, but I think there's a different approach you can take.
It's a different approach, right? So not necessarily. So just banning the word, you're saying that's not the way to go.
Right.
That's right. So Nicole, what's your thoughts on that?
Definitely similar to Kennedy. I do not agree with banning the word bossy is the right way to fix the problem at all, but I think that the campaign is trying to get rid of the negative messages that hold girls back. But what's important about the campaign is that it's trying to make us talk about how these words can set back girls, and it's trying to bring awareness to how girls are perceived versus to how boys are perceived in leadership,
Sure. So along with that, though, is it a message of love, or is it a message of control? If Nicole, what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's an overall message of love for the girls who want to persevere, but can also be viewed as control, but I think that it's overall message of love.
Okay, Kennedy, your thoughts on that?
I feel like that if you just look at the overview, it's in control. But if you look at the details and what they're actually doing it for, I think it's love, like Nicole said. So I think that, I guess you would say men think it's controlling, and I think women say, oh, yeah, women, let's do this. It's love. They're helping us out, helping us being a better attribution to a society today. So I think it could be seen both ways.
Seen both ways. So what about, does it foster an environment of victimization or victory? Playing on words here, Kennedy. The reason I say about victimization is, you know, the fact that you call that and, hey, you know, now I'm raising my hand, I need help of taking a word away so that I may be a leader, or rather than taking hits on understanding what I am and I can make it a victory. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Honestly, I think it's victimization. I feel that they're saying they're having this campaign to say, oh, we're victims of what society has been doing to us, and look at us, look at how much we're suffering through this, and look out, look what we're trying to do. We're trying to ban a word, and I don't think that they're trying to say, oh, let's overcome this. Instead of let's ban a word to see how much we're suffering, to see all these facts about how many girls could have been a leader in today's time. But so that's what I think about it.
Okay. Nicole, your thoughts on victimization or victory?
I also think it's victimization because the messages that they're trying to ban, it shouldn't really cause girls to give into those messages or back down from becoming leaders. If they really wanted to become a leader, they would throw those words into the back of their mind, not even care about them. And it may cause setbacks, but it's really nothing detrimental. It shouldn't be anything detrimental. And I think they're just trying to – I think they're trying to make it victory, but it's not appearing that way at all.
Okay. Well, great. We're hearing from two young leaders here, Kennedy Powell and Nicole Justin, both sophomores at Ursuline Academy. We're talking about the whole notion, the campaign about banning bossy. And the question of the day is banning bossy being bossy? And so, Nicole, I'm going to stay with you for a second. As we talk about the whole campaign, does it foster a sense of freedom, or does it foster a sense of censorship, as we've seen in decades before, censoring our book or even other words in the past time? What are your thoughts, freedom or censorship?
To me, it sounds more of a censorship because the campaign seems to be a little bit controlling in a sense, and I think a better approach would have been like to create a campaign to increase the awareness about what the word bossy does to some girls. But the censorship, like banning the word bossy, it sounds definitely like a censorship.
Yeah, absolutely. So Kennedy, your thoughts?
I agree with Nicole, because not all girls are affected by the word bossy. They still have, some girls, but not as many, still have the chance to, you know, emerge as a leader in our world. And so I think that it's just a censorship for this campaign.
Okay. All right. So considering what you've talked about, I guess these other related questions are easy then, regarding, is it empowerment or suppression? Is it empowering women, girls, or is it suppressing, getting more focus on it, causing another level of suppression from men or who those are in control?
Going back by my previous answers, it's a suppression. I feel like they're just trying to control what we're trying to do in our society, or, you know, I think they're just suppressing on, look at what you've done to us, look at, you need to fix this, this is what we're doing to fix it. And I think that is not, like, trying to get girls to say, oh, look, they're banning the word bossy. I can do something now. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. I mean,
they're banning the word bossy. I can do something now, right?
I mean,
so, Nicole, what about you?
For me, I actually think it's an empowerment for some girls because even although it might be a suppression to the banning the word bossy in itself, but I think the campaign is overall, like, empowering because it kind of tells you not to let words like bossy define who you are and not let it set back your goals or not let you really disregard all the leadership that's in you. And so it sounds more of empowerment to me.
Okay. Well, guys, so let me throw a question into both of you. Nicole, start with you. How would boys have answered this question in your mind about love or control or victimization or victory or freedom or censorship or empowerment or suppression? You can pick either one. You don't have to go through them all. But also, I mean, how would you think boys that you know would answer this question?
I definitely, for going back to the victimization or victory, I definitely think that they would say victimization just as we did, because they would be like, oh, girls just always want to have girl power, and like they always want to strive and show that they're just as good as boys. And this campaign definitely proves them a little bit correct.
Right. So, Kennedy, what about you?
I agree with Nicole going on the victimization victim. I feel like boys would be like, oh, you're just the girl who's just in trouble and, you know, doesn't have, like, as much as we have, like, going back to, like, saying that we're the stronghold, we're the ones in power, we're the ones who control you, we're the ones who are up there, we're the ones who are expected to do what we need to do, and you guys are just there, you need to clean the house or make me a sandwich or something. So I think that's boys my age would probably say.
Okay, I see. You know, before we jump onto what I just want to leave both of you with the word that I heard long, probably about the same age that you were, actually at a youth convention. We were having a picnic, and one of the leaders of it was out at the lake in a small hometown in Alabama. And she said that no one can get what the Lord has in store for you, only you can miss it. So if we all had that frame of mind of, if we talked about victimization, control, or censorship, or whatever that is, we would all, I think both of you have that, but I just want to give you that nugget of that saying, because it's something that stuck with me in all of these years. It's been those 30 plus years or almost right now of nothing, that no one can get what the Lord has in store for you, only you can miss it. So just kind of keep that in mind as we kind of go through it, and hopefully you'll be able to own it and pass it along as well. So which leads to the question here, you know, playing on words, as I always tend to do with titles of our show, and based upon that, I just got a great big response through Facebook. Asked me, seriously, am I actually doing this? But I just ask her to listen in, and hopefully we'll be able to kind of answer that question for her. But is banning bossy being bossy, Kennedy?
I think the ones who are playing this campaign, they don't think it is. They're thinking, oh, we are going to do this for the women of our future generation. But actually, it is being bossy. You're telling someone to not say a word. I mean, that's not right. That's ridiculous. Like, if you tell someone, like, if I told you to say, stop saying the word with the apple, I mean, like, you can't say the word apple because I don't like that fruit.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense. So, I mean, I feel that just because someone's banning the word bossy, they don't have the ability to become a leader. I feel that you can always work your way around something. So I feel like it is being bossy.
Okay. Nicole, what are your thoughts?
Same, yes, in a way it is being very bossy because it's telling people what they can and cannot do, or in what they can and cannot say. I think that it's like, it's kind of weird a little bit, because if there's like 10 girls and 5 out of the 10 girls still can strive after being called the word bossy, but the other 5 can't, I think they're only looking at the 5 who can't. And I just don't view, or this is kind of bad, but I don't really view them as leaders if they can't take that word. I mean, you're going to be called a lot of things in your way and your journey to being a leader. And if you can't take a few setbacks, then I don't think you should be a leader.
Okay. That's a great, great point. So let me expand on that for a second, Nicole. What is it that we're missing, or they're missing? What is it that girls or any leader needs in order to equip them in order to lead? What are your thoughts on that?
They definitely need faith in the Lord, and that just even if you are called the word bossy in this sense, or you're called different negative words that can bring you down, and you just need to have faith in the Lord that he's leading you in the right direction, and in the end you will become a leader and you will strive, and yeah.
Okay. So, Kennedy, what about you? I mean, what are – Nicole talked about faith, and I know it's foundational. It's foundational in everything that we do and it should do, and everyone should take that first. What else would you add to it? What are we failing, I guess, in a sense, of failing to do with girls in order to spark such a campaign or any type of campaign around this?
I feel like whenever someone wants to be a leader and then something gets in their way, they just stop. I feel like we just need more of a push to overcome the obstacles in our ways, no matter if it's a word, a person, or an action by someone else. I feel like a push from a close family member, someone that has a great foundation, as Nicole said, the Lord, saying that you can do this. This is your path. This is what the Lord is calling you to do. I feel like that will help a lot of girls out there.
So this whole notion about wellness, something that's well said, words of encouragement in order to kind of keep that push.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you, Seth, has anyone ever called you bossy?
Probably in the first grade. Probably. I think maybe first or second grade I've been called bossy just a little bit, I guess. I was the queen bee in my little second grade class. So
what about now, even as you a little bit older? Have you been called that, or even?
I don't think I've been called bossy. I don't think Nicole has ever called me bossy. I haven't been called bossy in a couple in the last my years of high school.
Okay.
So I think that I've been doing pretty well in my leadership, even though I haven't been called bossy.
Okay. Well, great. Nicole, what about you?
Actually, in eighth grade, I had a social justice project, and I was in a group of 3 boys, and so I would always like kind of implement my ideas. And always, like, get on the boys, like, we need to do this and this. And they'd be like, oh, my gosh, Nicole, why are you so bossy? Like, we got this. We're going to do it. But actually, they were not doing the things that would get us the grade. And they were like, why do you care so much about this grade? And I was like, it is my school. Of course I care about this grade. And it was a project. So, yes, I've heard those words in the last 2 years.
Yeah. And yet you're still leading.
Yes,
interesting.
Definitely.
Yeah, okay. It's a data point, right? As I tell Kennedy all the time, you know, when we talked about debate things, I said one data point doesn't or make a trend at the end of the day, but I'm sure there's others, especially all your group of friends and others in other schools around in everyone's household, you'll find that point. So as we talk about leadership, Nicole, what do you want to see in a leader?
I would want to see a servant leader, someone who puts people's wants into what they are doing so that they will also be successful and that the people that they're helping will be successful. And I think that a leader should always serve people in what they do.
Serve people in what they do. Kennedy, what about you? What do you want to see in a leader?
Someone who knows what they're doing. So you know where you're going, so you don't get other people lost.
Okay. So in a sense, knowing what they're doing. So have you ever been in a situation where you haven't, so someone's leading a project and they don't really know what they're doing?
Yes.
How do you manage that?
Whenever they're scrambled, I just say, you know, let's take a deep breath. Let's think this out. Let's write it down. Let's plan it out so we know what goal we're achieving and how the steps to get there, instead of just rushing to the goal and not looking at the steps before and messing up. And so the goal that you're trying to attain without going through the steps will just be messed up.
Right, right. So kind of like the whole Lincoln message I always give you, right, about if you got an hour to chop a tree, you spend the first 50 minutes, it's probably a different time frame, of sharpening the axe at this point, right?
Right.
So, Nicole, what about you? When you see a leader, based upon your answer, not serving, it kind of goes back to a midpoint in our conversation, even at the beginning of our conversation, about thinking of someone other than yourself. So if you're thinking just about yourself, you're not really a servant leader. How do you manage those type of situations where you under someone else's leadership who's not serving the broader good or the broader set of people who are around them?
Yeah. You definitely have to remind them that they're not the only person in the world, and that you're not. If you're being a leader, you have people to lead, or you have people to serve as the leader. You can't just serve yourself. And if you're only serving yourself, then you're only leading yourself. So you're not really a leader. You don't have any followers. So I definitely think that a servant leader should always have people to serve, not just themselves.
Well, amen to that. So, you know, thanks for sharing on both. So we're going to take a quick break, and we will come back. We're having a conversation about banning bossy. The whole campaign has kicked off in this last month, banning the word bossy. And the question of the day is banning bossy being bossy. And we're talking about leadership and about serving others and how the impact this may have or may not have on the leadership of young ladies in this world. So after the break, we'll continue our dialogue on sticks and stones, banning bossy being bossy. So please stay with us. You can't afford to miss the rest of this. We're taking calls. We welcome you to log in at Blog Talk Radio and call us at 310-861-2331 to ask a question or make a comment. Please call us at press 1 on your telephone or log into live chat to what's on your mind. So when you raise your hand, Kennedy, of course, can bring you in when you press 1. So join us also in the live chat room at Blog Talk Radio. And friends, we would love to hear from you. Again, the number is 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell, and we'll be right back.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue. How do you lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated?
You lead them where they are, by getting them on cue for God's will, by getting them on cue for His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
Who is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue.
And we're back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell, and our mission here is to equip leaders to help them lead where they are. Yes, we like that ricochet there by getting us on cue with God's will and his purpose. So continue to call us at 310-861-2331. We'd love to hear from you. I think those of you who've had trouble logging in, have to download the Flash Player who's linked to the invitation, and we'd love for you to come in. So feel free to press call in at 310-861-2331, and we would love to hear from you, friends. So today's question of the day, sticks and stones, is banning bossy being bossy. We have our two special guests, Nicole Johnson and Kennedy Powell, both sophomores at Ursuline Academy here at Dallas, and both future leaders in call to serve. You know, before we continue our dialogue around this, both of you, tell the audience a little bit about Ursuline Academy, and we have some technical difficulties here, so bear with us, about Ursuline Academy, and then tell us about, you know, what you've learned there since you've been there.
I've learned at Ursuline that you shouldn't be afraid to tell people what you want. You shouldn't be afraid to converse with people and have an opinion on something. And I've learned that a lot, and I'm especially like with my teachers if I'm not understanding something. And I've also learned that having a good relationship with God is very, very, very important. It'll help anyone get through anything. And also I learned how to deal with stress.
Deal with stress.
Yes.
We've noticed. We're great. So Nicole, what about you? I believe we lost Nicole. Nicole, if you can hear, if you can dial back in, we would love to bring you right back into the show, and have some technical difficulties here at Blog Talk Radio, so hold with us here. So Kennedy, one-on-one here, right? And so we talked about, we ended in the last segment about, you know, what do you want to see in a leader? And you know, we asked you this question some months ago, and you know, back in my mind, I'm kind of testing what your answer is versus what I've heard some time ago. But don't worry about that. Just to be open and honest. What type of leader do you want to be? Right. So always ask the question of, if you're a leader or a follower, do you follow, or you influence, or do you lead, or you associate from a crowd? You know, honestly, how do you characterize yourself? A leader versus a follower?
I feel like I'm a leader. How I would explain that is that even though I'm coming back from an injury, and I've been on the side of a court for about 2 months, and I feel like people are still listening to me and still taking my advice, and that I'm leading them into our victory, into our game, and I still feel that I'm a leader even though I'm not on the court. So I feel like that reflects back into my life, in that even though I may not be in a certain situation, know all the details, know what exactly is going on, I still have an idea of how to lead them, how to lead someone in trouble, and I feel that's where I am.
So let's stop here for stop there for a second. You said that you're not on the court. Why aren't you on the court?
Because I'm injured.
You're injured. So what are you injured from?
Volleyball. I came down from a block and I hurt my ankle, and I've been out for about 2 months.
So you tore some cartilage and some
right.
tendons and ligaments and so forth. So you had some challenges.
Right.
So you had some challenges. You had some obstacles. You had some things that just made you stumble. You know. And but no one said, you know, let's ban stepping on somebody's foot and turning your ankle,
I know I'm being facetious here.
Right.
But ultimately, although you had some obstacles, therefore you still follow him. I mean, you're no longer following your leading. So can you help me? Can you explain how those things, obstacles and challenges, words or sticks and stones, whatever those things are, you literally almost broke your bone, right?
Yeah.
So how are you leading then?
I feel that whenever you go through an obstacle, a real obstacle in life that restricts you from doing something, it just makes you a stronger person. And that really helped me into knowing who I am, finding out who I am actually or who I belong to. And I feel that going through these obstacles, you know, praying to the Lord, saying, help me to know what to do with my life, help me to know where I belong on my volleyball team. And I feel that going through these obstacles with not playing for about 2 months and still having a great relationship with my team, still be able to cheer them on and help them, give them advice and being a leader out there for them, I feel that these obstacles have just made me a stronger leader.
Okay. Well, you know, great, and it's great to hear. And so, but you just said something, who you belong to. So that hurt, that hit me, because I love it, because you've been listening a little bit. So tell, who do you belong to?
I belong to the Lord. I belong to him. I listen to him. I talk to him. I follow the path that he wants me to go, at least what I believe that is where he wants me to go. And I shouldn't do what I want on my own terms. I should go to the Lord first to see, oh, help me out in this situation, or help me how to deal with this problem, and knowing that I can go to him anytime, any place, anywhere. It just, no, I let people know around me and let people and myself know that I belong to the Lord.
Amen to that. So you talked about going to prayer. You know, it's nothing like being in tough times. You know, I can always go back to where if I was injured playing college, playing sports and so forth, and, you know, trying to do things your own doesn't necessarily work. And how important has your prayer life become over these, especially these last couple of months? Because I know it's been tough for you.
It's been really tough. My prayer has been hugely, it's been important to me. It's been important in my everyday life. I do it every morning and every night, and it's really important. It's a really big necessity to be able to have a great relationship with the Lord, to be able to talk to him. So.
Okay. Well, great for sharing that. So, the second part of this, we talked about what type of leader you want to be. We talked about the leader or the follower. So by the way, it's amazing what 6 or 7 months will do, because going through some challenges that you've gone through, how you answer Shay. So after this, we want to play back when you answer this question back in August, one of these days. I don't have it on here now, but yes, you talked about a little bit more following more than anything. But here's the next question. Are you a chaser or a magnet? Here's what I mean about it. Are you a chaser of the goodness, the success, or achievement? Or do you sit back on the word and let things come to you? And so don't let dad act as though I'm not your dad now. Just kind of be, let it flow and help us understand, are you a chaser or a magnet?
I feel like I'm a magnet now than what a chaser that I said a couple months ago. Going back to my injury in volleyball, I feel that if it were me from a couple years ago, I would be rushing back into it, and I would probably just be making it worse. And so just sitting back and letting it heal, letting my wounds heal, and letting my time come and not being able to say, I want this now, like as you say, me now culture. And so I feel like I'm a magnet now, and whenever my time comes, it's time to do what I'm required to do.
Right, so. You're seasoned when it comes to it.
Right.
So you've kind of shifted on a 2x2 just a little bit, and it's great to hear. So friends, we're going to take a break real quick. We want to try to make sure we get Nicole back in, and she's on, Nicole? Are you on?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Oh, thanks. So sorry for the technical difficulties there, and we continue to try to push on there.
Okay, fine.
we couldn't let the obstacles get in our way. You know, we had to continue to lead the show on Nicole. before you left, before the break, we were talking about leadership. And hopefully you got a chance to listen on Kennedy. And I was going to pose the same similar questions to you. And she knows that I pose this because, you know, part of our curriculum, we focus on building leaders. And we have one, a chief builder in a sense, that focuses on adults. But we also have a gatekeeper that focuses on young adults as well. And part of these questions, these couple questions I want to ask you is kind of part of that to kind of help you put yourself on a grid based upon on where you are in life and your leadership life. And so, you know, the question is broadly, what type of leader do you want to be? And then I'll have a follow-up question with you after that.
Okay. I want to be a leader who knows what I'm doing and knows what specifically what I want to do in the world. And I want to let people know that they can trust me. I want to be someone who is someone who you can tell anything to, and that you can that I can implement whatever they want, like respectable things that they want, into what I do in the future.
Okay, so essentially building trust, so they understand that, you know, your word or your focus, that you're really out for them and not just for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Absolutely. So as you some follow-up questions to that, and one particularly, do you see yourself, and it may be, you know, it can be in any one situation or just broadly, are you a leader or a follower? And here's what I mean by it. Do you follow or influence or lead, or versus, you know, kind of dissociate yourself from the crowd and just kind of really just follow what people say? How do you characterize yourself now versus where you want to be?
Definitely now, I would say sometimes I'm a little bit of both. Like, I can lead in some ways, but other times I realize that I follow. So right now I do see myself as a follower, and that's definitely not where I want to be in the future, but I'm working on that.
Yeah, but, you know, it's not a bad thing. You know, every in order to be a leader, you have to be a great follower at some point. And
mm-hmm.
even when you feel, and as always teach here at Q, we always got to have mentors. No matter where you are in life, no matter how wise you've gotten, no matter what you have achieved, you still have people who help and guide you, that circle of mentors. So it doesn't necessarily is a bad thing, Nicole, but it just helping to understand, you may not necessarily be following from project-based or just from some initiative purpose, but it's really helping guidance, you know, getting guidance from those. So just keep that in mind, and I think we all somewhat a little bit of both. But at the same time, knowing where you want to be is even more important. And so the follow-up question to that is, are you a chaser or a magnet? Here's what I mean about that. Are you a chaser of goodness, success, or achievement, or do you allow things to come to you? And we've got patience and really discernment around those things. Can you talk about that?
Yes. Right now I'm more of a magnet because I believe that things will come to you if something's supposed to happen, like it will happen. But I don't think that I'm trying to be more of a chaser, but I believe that I am a chaser in some sense. Like, if I want to do some charity work, I will go do charity work. And I'm definitely a chaser in helping people. But I think for myself that I definitely wait for things to happen.
You got some patience there, right?
Yes, definitely.
Absolutely. So when you think about a leader, Nicole, you think about a leader you want to emulate. Mm-hmm. What is that leader, that first person that comes to your mind that you want to emulate?
I think my mom.
I was just about to say besides your mom, but no, but let's go with it. Let's go with it.
My mom is definitely a leader in her workforce. She's definitely worked hard to get to where she is, and she's a leader everywhere she goes. And I definitely want to be more like her.
Awesome. That's great. I knew I threw that on you, and I was going to make it hard for you, but I'm glad you brought it up because it is. I mean, essentially, it shouldn't be far away from you at the end of the day. And but if it is, that's okay as well, right? It doesn't make it wrong or right. So Kennedy, you don't have to say me. No, I'm just kidding. So when you think about a leader, outside your parents, I'm gonna throw it on, make it tough for me. Outside of your parents, what leader would you want to emulate?
Can I say someone in my family?
Sure, in your family or wherever, outside your parents.
I would say my Aunt Donna.
Yeah, Aunt Donna.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That she's very straightforward with things, but she knows what she wants. And I feel like she's a leader who's not afraid to say what she has on her mind. And so I feel like that's something I could work on. So I feel like she's the one I represent.
Okay, well, great. You know, you're probably going to make her tear up after that comment. So, but no, I definitely understand. This started with the show. She's one of those, command and control, at the end of the day. So, and that's why we bump heads a lot. But that's okay. So Nicole, as we try to close out the show, when we think about this whole notion of banning bossy, is it being boss? We've answered that, I think, as a resounding yes, in a sense, resounding that, yeah, we definitely want to shed a light on a particular issue or so forth, but it's not necessarily the answer. The question really is, what if you had an opportunity to sit before the group for the COO of Facebook and the Girl Scouts and others, and others, what would you tell them about either banning bossy or what we need to do as leaders? I know you've answered some of that today, but what are those in short terms which you share in order to help influence this?
I would definitely implement better approaches to ban these negative words or words like bossy. I would kind of say that they should create a campaign that just increases awareness about what the words do to girls and what it that you shouldn't let these words get to you and that you should always try to be a leader. But I don't think I would also say that banning the word bossy won't really reach their goals. It's not shining a light on what they're actually trying to do.
Right, okay, and they won't reach the goal. So, Kennedy, what about you?
Same thing. I feel like if you're banning a word and once it gets banned, there's nothing else you can do. That's that was your goal, to ban the word, and you're done. So what else should you do? So as Nicole was saying, taking a different approach, having some, camps or something to help girls go through obstacles or something, having something that's more, touching or something that actually is relevant instead of having, oh, let's ban this word.
Yes. So now you know how I am. Once I hear something, I try to end with that question, but I can't now. No, that's okay. So what if they succeeded? No one in this world called a girl bossy, right? Picture that, okay? So, what next?
I think, I don't know what they would do. I mean, they achieved their goal. I mean, now society will be looking at women who come up and rise and be like, oh, the only reason why she's up here is because they banned the B word. So, I mean, I feel like it's not really going to do anything. It's probably going to criticize women even more.
Yeah.
But because that, by the way that they gained this leadership, gained this position, was by someone banning something. So I think that they're not going to get anything out of it
okay.
as much as they planned on getting.
So, Nicola, a similar question, a little bit different twist to it. If they succeeded and the world no longer called a girl bossy, okay, will the same issues of what they're trying to shine light on, will they exist? Will they still need to find ways to equip and help girls harness their own strengths?
Yes, definitely. I think just banning the word bossy, there's a lot of words that can replace the word bossy. There's a lot of actions that can replace the word bossy. So not the overall negative messages that come with the word bossy are being banned either. I don't think that they should be banned because it kind of puts perseverance in your heart. For some people, it puts perseverance after someone says things like that. It makes you want to strive more.
Right, and so that should be the message, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that should be the message. So you know, I think both of you, Nicole, and I thank you for coming on today, and Kennedy as well, and pulling double duty here. But I want to leave with, you know, is there something that I miss? Is there something I should have asked and I didn't around this whole notion about banning bossy? Either one of you, anything, any message, any notion that the world needs to understand, anything that may shine and need some more light for those who are trying to ban a word versus trying to find tactical steps in order to inspire and equip leaders. Anything?
Probably, like, if we were in a situation where we were called bossy, like, what would be the steps that you would do to be a leader?
Right. What would you do if you called that, right?
Right.
Okay. And Nicole, any thoughts around that?
I think that we shouldn't compare ourselves or, like, between genders. And I think that banning the word bossy, like, if a girl carries the same traits as a successful man does, they would be perceived as bossy, but actually you just have the same leadership ways as the guy does. You're just a different gender, and I don't think that's right. And we should definitely shine a light on that.
Okay, well great. Thanks for you both this evening, and there you have it, you know, from the mouth of two future leaders who are living and operating in this society's me now culture, and really the target of this whole banning bossy element that the campaign that's going on in the U.S. right now is probably beyond the U.S. as well. So you hear it straight from them. The campaign maybe have some good elements of shining the light on some potential truth, but really, as my mentor, as I talked about Nicole, my mentor, I got a few mentors, but his favorite question is, so what? So what do we do next? Okay, once we ban it, what are we really addressing the problem, the root, rather than overall symptoms? So I thank both of you. For coming on, and hopefully you'll be able to come on at any other point. If you got any ideas that you want to talk about, even kind of come back and talk about this particular point or anything that young ladies as yourself are dealing with from a leadership perspective, definitely welcome you on, and we thank you, Nicole and Kennedy.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back and maybe entertain some questions or some comments. And so after the break, we'll continue the dialogue and try to close out. So feel free to call us at 310-861-2331 or to ask some questions or join us in a live chat at Blog Talk Radio. So, friends, we'd love to hear from you. Please call us at 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
You lead them where they are by getting them on cue for God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
Full is your leadership. Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue.
Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell, and our mission here is simple, to equip leaders to help them lead where they are by getting us on cue with God's will and His purpose and calling us alive. So thanks for staying with us. Our question of the day has been sticks and stones. Is being bossy. And I think from our guests today, our two special guests, Nicole Johnson and Kennedy Powell, both sophomores at Earthland Academy here in Dallas, both future leaders who are called to serve, I think a resounding yes that it is being bossy. So, you know, we've asked a series of questions from our guests today, and if been something that is well said or if it's been well silenced. We talked about love versus control, victimization versus victory, freedom versus censorship, empowerment versus suppression. And overwhelmingly, the answer is more control than love. More victimization than claiming victory, more censorship than freedom, more suppression than empowerment. The campaign is not well said. Is banning bossy being bossy? I think a resounding yes. My problem is that we're doing it again. We're treating the symptoms rather than addressing the root of the problem. Banning the word to support leadership in young girls is a symptom of a larger problem. Look at the symptoms. Both boys and girls, all of us weak in one way or another. We're taught boys, yeah, overcome their weakness, be tough, be strong. Hey, you better not cry. We taught girls that sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt me, and that's fine. And that we also taught them sugar and spice and everything nice. But what we're failing our girls because we have not taught our girls how to be spicy. How to lead, but instead we're trying to ban a word. We get a variety of results from that. Either we get girls who may be bossy or feel victimized, or we may have girls who try to be like boys. You know, banning a word to support leadership in girls is a symptom of a larger problem. The problem is this. Unlike how we handle boys, we fail to help girls harness their strength, teach them to understand that the weaknesses and the use for it for God's glory, how to harness the strength, though. Corinthians 12, 9, 10 tells us. It talks about Apostle Paul who asked the Lord three times to take a thorn, the messenger of Satan, from his flesh. And always, as the Lord always said, he always say things that are well said. And the Lord said, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And most gladly, therefore, I rather glorify my infirmities, as Paul said,
and the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Being bossy is a play on words, of course. So is when I'm weak and I am strong. How can you be weak and strong at the same time? Some of us, even those supporting the campaign for the word bossy, because people often forget the Christ factor. Without Jesus in the equation, our Lord in the equation, as our girls on the show have shared with us, the words will always hurt if you don't tap into the power of God that flows through his grace, through Jesus Christ. We focus on our own strength, our own power, our own will, our own determination, and our way. And our way gets in the ways of God's grace because of being part of Airedale Allies. You see, it's only when we recognize that we are total dependence on the Almighty that his grace becomes part of our lives. Philippians 4:13 makes it simple. Always wore it under my jersey, on my T-shirt when I played football in college. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Is that simple? It makes it simple. So don't get me wrong, though. It is critical and vital to protect the kid's spirit. And I tell you, though, in the Lord has several references, even in Philippians there, where we talked about having the peace of the Lord and share. You need to guard your hearts and minds in Christ for your protection. And that's what in verses 6 and 7. But sometimes it takes some hurt. It takes some pain. And it takes some failures, as Kennedy shared today, if it's from an injury from sports, if it's failure in class, if it's name calling, it's some sticks and stones to make us realize our weaknesses. I start the show by sharing that no matter the difference of opinions today, this life is about love and surrender. Is banning the word teaching the right type of surrender? Not the surrender of Christ. Do we surrender and let him be our God? Do we surrender and let him be perfected in our weakness? Another way of asking, are we bossing his grace around? Are we bossing his strength around? Are we bossing Jesus around? Instead of bossing him, let's trust him. Instead of bossing him, let's befriend him. Instead of bossing him, let's live by him. And instead of bossing, let that relationship, Lord, really intrude and be all of your being. So, girls, it's about love and surrender. Surrender to God's campaign, not man's campaign. Let him be your strength. Let him have a say. Let him have put the words in your mouth rather than let society tell you what to take out. Let him be your boss. Why? Because we need you in the full armor. We need you because we need you to stand the post for God in our society. We need to be a gatekeeper. And so get on cue with his will. Get on cue with his calling, his life, and get others on cue with their calling and be leaders and stand the post. And don't allow society or words or anyone else, a word from somebody else, subject the word of God. So that's in our show today. So before I go out, I want to offer thanks to all of you for tuning in. And feel free to share this with those around you and also go back and play back. So like us on Facebook or at OnQ Radio. Put us on your prayer list. Invite a friend to listen to next week's show and consider using Q Leadership as your training for a church or home or company. And there's a few things that I always like to get. I want to give honor and praise to the master, to the big boss. If there's some things to be banned, go listen, read his word. He'll tell you what those things are. And not of society, but from Lord Almighty, our Jesus Christ, our Savior. So thanks for tuning in. My special guests, Nicole Johnson and Kennedy Powell, they were great. They're inspirations to us all. And I thank Kennedy for taking double duty of answering questions as well as logistics here on the radio show. My best friend, better half, Ty, youngest Princess Carson, who is a strong-willed little sister. And I tell you, we pray that the Lord give us the discernment and the strength and courage to bring up in the way that he sees fit. And so our friends and family, my mother, my mother-in-law, my sisters and brothers, friends on Facebook, friends in life,
I dedicate this show to my parents who raised five girls who may be bossy, but sometimes, but I thank them for that. But if you like to be a sponsor, please email me at onq@qleadership.com. This has been OnQ. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Until next week.
How do you lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated?
You lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the queue. Let us help you get on cue.